Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We didn't do our levels.
There we go.
Woo! Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas. What are you clicking?
The script.
It's very loud.
Sorry. I'll stop.
It's like you're typing a very slow letter.
It's a suicide. It's a note to someone, help me. I'm typing. Get me out.
S-O-S. Lucy V. Freeman and our executive director, Cooper. He's been shot out.
Yes.
Now, we've got a temp in.
Yeah.
Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Kate maundering on about her dreadlock days to Jacob, who must be counting his lucky stars that she's over the shouty stage and now has a wash every now and again. She spent the week driving everyone into a total fury. I know we all grieve in different ways, but I have never seen it take anyone like this. She has decided that manifesting and chakras are a load of hooey, which they are, and to chuck spiritual hummus, but doesn't seem to have contemplated how she's actually going to make any money. She described herself to Stella as a very active activist, which is good because I expect activity is what you need from an activist. Sample careers she had already tried out by Thursday included vet, hedge layer, digger, professional environmentalist and farmer. She's like Mr. Ben. And as if by magic, a shopkeeper appeared, or disappeared in Justin's case, as he has already started truanting from the shop, as now he's rearranged everything and hypnotised everyone in the village to leave the shop with a stapler and 14 pairs of American tan tights when they only went in for milk. There's nothing left for him to do, and he's bored again. His biggest success to date seems to have been a focus on Garibaldi biscuits and the appointment of Joy, an entirely undiplomatic decision. I didn't mean undiplomatic. An entirely undemocratic decision made by Susan in the tone of one who knows she is about to regret it. Within minutes, Joy was on her knees by the cat food, taking David's inside leg measurement. This is going to be good, I feel. Rory attempted to take Julie Grant's inside leg measurement, but she wasn't having any of it. He was brokenhearted and had come home after she'd announced he'd failed to hit his KPIs and she didn't think he was a good fit vis-a-vis the business going forward. He'd just got to sleep on Alice's sofa when Alice woke him up to remind him how sad he was. He had another stab at things with Julie Gran, which involved the unlikely dialogue, "Make yourself scarce while I call a cab." Do Julie Grant's lines come out of a book called Human for Dummies? Make yourself sound almost normal in our speedy 2-week course. Julie Grant called him back into service to impress Bill at a hotel in Felpersham. Why does she think that a bisexual student in the depths of grief telling anecdotes about his childhood is going to swing a deal? Poor Rory. But on the plus side, Paul the vet nurse popped up again. But I'm not sure whether Paul would be up for going out with someone whose ringtone is the alarm clock on an iPhone. Freddie, or the Fresh Prince of Blair, according to the volunteers, was bored of shadowing Trent in the tea room. Not half as much as I expect Trent is fed up with Freddie leaping out at him from behind a urinal saying, "What are you doing, Trent? Can I do it?" The volunteers have morale issues, probably around the fact that they are working for nothing to show visitors around someone else's house, while the son of the house sits in the tea room with his feet up on the scone trolley, seeing if he can flick crumpled up receipts into the jam. Over at Honeysuckle Cottage, Adam and Ian were contemplating how to break it to little Xander that Granny had gone to the Great Albion in the sky. They decided not to take the traditional option of telling him that Granny had gone to live on a farm where she had lots of fields to run about in, as that would have raised more questions than it answered. So they decided not to sugarcoat it. Granny had a cardiac arrest, Xander. Can you spell aortic stenosis? I must say, both those grandchildren seem extraordinarily advanced in their drawing and explanations of said drawings. Mine are teenagers, and neither of them can draw a convincing sheep, never mind a rose, to remind us of Granny's big heart. It was Granny's big heart that caused the problem, Martha, but we'll let that one go.
Lucy.
And and we ended the week with Adam and Ian taking Xander to the Am to float her to Jean down the river in honour of Jenny while her adopted son threw up in Alice's sink. It's what she would have wanted, probably. The end.
It's what she would have wanted. It ended on a sort of high, didn't it, this week? I love the fact that the week ended with Rory just going... As Adam and Ian waved goodbye.
Yeah, did you hear Alice's actual confession that only she can see Rory?
Yeah.
Only Alice and Paul can see Rory. So he said...
Because I belong to the special cult.
Yes. He only said, so at least he's got a family to support him. And she went, no, it's just me. None of the others can... It's not real to anyone else. It's only me. I'm sort of stuck with him now.
It was... I thought it was quite weird, the dialogue between... Was it Alice? It felt like Alice was a new character when she came to Paul.
Yes. She's now a 50-year-old therapist by the sound of it. She's me! Alice is me! Bloody hell.
It was Lucy at the end. I thought, so you didn't tell me you were going up for her part. But I actually liked her new tone of voice. I thought it was much nicer than the needy Alice. Sympathetic Alice. It was just sort of.
But it's a bit much for someone who's really, really relatively soon into their sobriety journey to start looking after somebody as palpably nutso as Rory.
Well, also, where did that reconciliation? That was very quick, wasn't it? I mean, after how vile Rory was to
her. Well, it was just because. Probably she'd rang him so many times, she deleted all the other, when it said call, you know, last calls, there wasn't anyone else apart from Alice. So he just thought, oh, I'll ring
her. It's a bit like she's kidnapped him now, and then it's going to take are going to take a turn for the worse when she gets him down to her basement and ties him up. And
it's like that Stephen King film, she calls him Dirty Birdie.
Yeah, but that's the
You've
thing,
got to
it?
Stay with Alice now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's almost
I'm your
weird.
Fan.
Yeah, she's got him in her clutches now. She's another Julie Graham.
Mm.
But no, so I didn't really like the. I felt like it wasn't very believable, the Rory and Julianne Alice stuff this week.
No,
it went from. Julianne, I love you.
Yeah.
Alice, I hate you too. Alice, I love you, and Julianne, I hate you. And then, but then when Rory was, as you said, really, what superpower does he have? He doesn't.
I have been wheeled out on various occasions to sit next to...
Well, you've got good words. I do
a passable word, yes. And also, I'm not 19. And I'm not going to...
And you've got big boobies.
I'm not going to get, you know, kind of over... I'm not going to get pissed. I'm not going to get... And I've actually got stuff to talk to them about and know the industry and everything.
But also, because at first when she was like, Bill, you know, is missing you, I thought, oh, right, okay, so Bill does have a little crush on Rory. But then she was like, him and his wife.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this?
Yes, yeah. It's nonsense, is what it is.
But it's supposed to be that Rory's farming knowledge, which is, you know, all of the size of a baked bean.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that was what we were supposed... That was the sort of plausible argument, wasn't it?
Or the fact that he had ties to Borchester. But that's just Bill. I mean, he's been doing this nonsense for a year now, being weirder. If Si was meeting somebody for a business meeting and they wheeled out a 20-year-old escort, I'd think, what is wrong? Who is this?
I mean, the only exclamation that's believable is that Bill and his missus are into escorts as well. That's the only
parties and goodness knows what else.
Exactly. The rest of it. Also, the way Rory was talking to her on the phone when he was like, oh, you're going to pay me a bonus or I'm being so good. If I was Julianne, however vile she
not
is.
Not anymore, I'm not.
You would just go, oh, just forget it. This definitely is not going to work.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
It was all a bit... And then when he was sort of... They made Rory sound really babyish, I thought. And actually, to me, it took away any of the sort of credibility of that storyline. Not the credibility, but the what's the word, Lucy? You know, like the heavyweightness. What's that word? Dignity. No, what is it? No, I know what it is. It is what it is before this week, Rory had left the relationship and there wasn't any closure or anything, but it felt believable. He still had his bit of dignity.
And a bit of integrity as well, that he was actually making a choice about what he was doing. Yeah,
that's the word.
Yeah.
But then by him going back, because he, I really want some more money, actually.
Yeah.
And then to go, not fair, you don't love me. But it's like, just stop a minute. You had a chance. It was your decision to go back and you went back for the money. So you might still be a very vulnerable person in a bad place, but you are also an adult and you made that decision.
Yeah.
So for Alice sort of to run in and go, I'm Alice and you're
old lady poo.
Yeah, you're just a pimp and you're just like dissing his body and stuff. Like, I don't like it. But it just all went really immature,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
And I would have, if I felt Julianne in a way got the upper hand, because it was like she was being told off by two teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of walked away with more dignity than they did, I thought, which was a shame.
Which is, you know,
that's a very long-winded way.
When you've been paying
to
shag a 20-year-old boy, it's quite hard to actually be the grown up in the room, isn't it? But, and yet she managed it. Ah.
But so they ruined the what could have saved the storyline.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I can't get my
words
out.
I think they kind of had to wrap it up quite. It seemed like they sort of had, right, moving on, quick, you know. Let's just finish this one.
And,
so
and they,
now let's have the reconciliation with Alice.
And they needed Alice to be the saviour, didn't they?
Yeah.
For Alice to see.
But we all knew that was coming, didn't we? Everybody was just sort of waiting.
But now, poor old Rory's got Alice. Poor Rory, you have to feel sorry for him, really. Now he's just got Alice.
I was thinking, though, about what you said about it, Rory being slightly coercive in his approach with Julianne, because he did it with Paul, didn't he?
Yes, exactly. He freaked Paul out as well. So he must be. But I guess he's got into bad habits with his with his relationship tactics now, hasn't he? Probably doesn't know what a loving relationship looks like.
Yeah. And he just assumed that poor Paul was going to, you know.
Paul was so good, actually, wasn't he? The way he handled that, I thought.
Although he could. I liked it when they hooted and he went, oh, rude. And then,
all right, bye, love. Are you sure you're going to be okay?
You could see him sort of backing down the drive while Alice going, don't leave me with him! You know.
Paul, come to the nest. Paul.
But you can't ask somebody.
Yeah, it's so rude to ask Paul to look after Rory.
Yeah. I mean, has Alice ever come into contact with, at the stables, very briefly, into contact with Paul, but not enough that you'd say, can you look after this raving lunatic, please, who's having a nervous breakdown right in front of us?
Because the thing is, I can't ask Ben because he also had a massive breakdown. So,
and I'm like really, really busy with horses. And have you met my daughter? Because she's quite time consuming.
So you seem like the only stable person, I mean, in the whole stables. So can you deal
stables
with him?
Person.
Thanks. Because we can't go near...
sobbing wreck in the bathroom.
You can't go near Adam because any minute he's about to explode. Any minute. It's coming. I loved the fact that it was coming out tonight in Friday's episode like this. Did you hear all the way through there was a slight like this?
Yeah.
Every so often he went.
Yeah.
And it was like it was building up. It was building up.
Like Otto the bull pawing the ground before he went for Tony. And then sat on the... On the riverbank, sobbing.
My rice boat. That's good rice paper. I could have eaten it.
I was expecting Kate to pop up with her, as she's being so diplomatic this week, popping up and saying, Actually, that's a pollutant. Yes,
going
I don't care.
Forward, yeah. Can you not use rice paper again, please? Terribly
when mother
polluting.
Dies, when mummy dies again, don't do that.
I thought Kate was the highlight of the week, though. I thought her chat with Stella was 10 out of 10.
Yes.
For perfection.
Yes.
Audio perfection, yeah. That was.
When
it was
Stella was
so
going,
funny.
Yep, I do. Yeah, yep, yeah. I did. Yep, I am. Yep. Oh, good.
But do you?
Yes.
Yes, I do. But
and
do
don't
you?
Think I'm going to be afraid to push back. Oh God, I love people
but then,
that say
but
push
then,
back.
But then the lovely change where she's like, oh, so you are on my side. Of course, yeah. I'll do it for you. And it was like her sweet joy was. Really
but it's
lovely.
Like sending a toddler out to count the bricks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go and see if you can see any butterflies. Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah, yeah. I see three. How many trees have you counted, Kate? Well, I counted four, but then I fell over and grazed my knee and I have come back now.
I really, really, really loved that. There was loads of good Kate. And then Kate, there was good bants between, well, good scene with Kate and Jakob.
Yeah.
When Kate was... what was she saying? She was doing the vet stuff, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Have you just looked at his tail?
Yes. Leave.
Okay, we'll keep an eye
on him. Yes, keep an eye on him for a week. Yeah. Only one of us is qualified, as he said.
Now, I wish they'd have done a bit more of that this week.
I'm starting to see Jakob now as Angus Dayton.
Oh, that's a great call.
Quite sarcastic and quite flary nostril and looking down his nose a little bit.
But sort of kind-hearted,
yes.
Deep down.
Yes.
That's a really good call.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, not to get too boringly psychological, but I think Kate is having a massive manic episode in response to grief.
Yeah, I think what they were doing were juxtaposing Kate's grief against Adam's grief.
Yeah.
You know, and Kate's gone on that hyper sort of
yeah.
thing. And Adam's, you know, done the internalising thing.
When my friend Phil's father died, his mother... went completely mad building extensions all over the house. And I said, what's she building? He said, I don't know. He said, you know, every time I go there's some, he said, and she just keeps building ensuite bathrooms. He said, we've now got an ensuite with an ensuite.
Well, you'd rather have that though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd rather have that sort of grieving.
than the flopping around sighing one, yes, I suppose.
Yeah, or the sort of just keeping it all locked in until it all comes out by a river.
Yeah, but I did love Kate saying to Adam, you go back to your potato boxes, you don't work here anymore. Enjoy them, enjoy your little boxes of leeks. Don't work with the silly old fools at Bridge Farm. Bye!
Going forward, yeah. I would like to be the what does she want to be? She wants to be the like the carer, the
oh the oh God.
Oh, what's the word, Lucy? Oh my God, I'm devoid of any memory this tonight.
That's because you've got a head full of salopettes.
Got a head full of salopettes.
the steward of Home Farm.
The steward.
Yeah.
The steward of Home. Yeah, yeah. Come to me for, yeah, I really loved that, because she's really, really funny when she puts on her sort of business
earnest.
Spiel.
Yes,
yeah, her
yeah.
earnest, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she, Kate's one of those people that she has a small feeling, like, I really miss Home Farm and I feel at home on Home Farm. And then, but anyone else would just stop there. But she extrapolates it to the absolute nth degree, which is, I must now save the world through yeah. Home Farm. I did also love the fact that Stella didn't even send her out to count the trees. She sent her out to count gaps. So she's basically sent her out to count things that aren't there. To count
Jakob,
nothing.
Is that a gap? Is it a gap? Is it? Or is it a hole?
And then when she sounded so excited about the nightingales, Jakob.
And weirdly, I don't know why, because I'm not into plastic, but I sort of wanted to hi-fi Kirsty when she went, oh yeah, no, it's just the plastic ones are actually better at protecting
yeah.
the tree.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, I just wanted to do a high-five. I was like, hooray, she's not being earnesty earnest.
Yes.
She's got her,
yeah.
her sensible hat on.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get... Oh, no, it was Stella. Stella is... I love Stella because she's so common sense person.
Yes, yeah.
When she was like, when the biodegradable ones, you know, as they will, they'll get better, then we'll use them then.
Yeah.
She's just so head screwed on. And she's probably the only person in Ambridge with her head screwed on that tight, isn't she?
Yes.
Which is why she's so brilliant.
But it's also
refreshing.
Because she hasn't got family there, so she's not prone to the emotional manipulation that all of the others are prone to.
Because
she can just be a free agent and just concentrate on what she's doing without thinking, oh, am I going to offend them? Am I going to offend them?
Loved her.
What about the reconciliation? It was quite dull, actually, wasn't it, between David and Elizabeth?
Fine. Hasn't really been on my mind lately at all.
I couldn't really understand. Though, so it was Vince. What was she actually saying about Vince? Because David said, I know, I'll try and get on with him. And she said, no, don't try and get on with him. I don't care, idiot.
She's had a right change of attitude because the last we heard was her saying to Vince, oh, David's so priggish. And, Vince, he's not going to get between me and you. And then the next thing you know, she's going, I'm not going to let Vince come in between.
Yeah.
She's just all over the place. But I did enjoy her fish finger. I did really love it. There were some really funny lines this week when Freddie said,
You've never had
fish finger sandwich in your life. Well, there's always a time. It's time to start everything, darling. that was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were going to get back. But then again, they mentioned Shula, I thought, I forgot about Shula.
Yeah. And also, they're talking about her as if she's dead. Since she's gone, they said. I said, 100%. Gone? did I miss that? But I don't understand Vince. Are they still together? David says, oh, he's your partner. Partner is somebody you live with, surely.
No, partner's serious boyfriend or girlfriend as well. You don't have to live with your partner.
Really?
No, I don't know. That didn't pop out to me at all.
Oh.
I just felt that whole thing was... They were just... sellotaping up that storyline.
Okay.
Because
I like that.
It's done. That argument, the argument is done now, basically.
Okay.
But also, well, because it's weird that we've got all this going on with Rory, but we haven't really had an update on Ben, have we?
No. And Vince is up north, so we don't know where Beth is.
Yeah.
And Ben's just going to the pub with Rory?
I guess that'll just come in the next few months, maybe. They'll return there. But I think Beth does come back.
Yes. But they made such a thing of her, though.
Yes, exactly. They really established her, didn't they?
Yeah. And then that to just... Yeah, I don't think they're going to just chuck that away.
Flicker it. Yeah, hopefully that'll all start up again in a few months.
And if I was one of those volunteers, I would be so annoyed. At having to take orders from that little twerp.
Oh, he acted like a right twerp, didn't he?
He did.
Mummy, it's not fair. I don't want to do boring jobs. I want to have a big boy job.
Guess what? I patronised Malcolm. And now he thinks everything's lovely. Only I know it isn't. And I bet Malcolm's arranging some sort of Marxist rally to overthrow them and hang them all from the battlements.
But I think it's a shame when they make Freddie... needy and moany, because when he's funny, you know, like with the fish finger scene, and when he was talking about what was the volunteer he got on with in the end, Colin or someone?
Yeah, I think it was Malcolm. I don't
Malcolm.
Know if I made that up.
No, it wasn't Malcolm. Colin, wasn't it? Whatever.
I don't know.
Anyway, he was like, everything's fine now. Well, and Lucy, I'm so tired. I actually can't speak. I'm so tired. It's been such a long week. It's Friday night. I haven't even packed and I'm getting up in about 6 hours. And sorry. Anyway, when Freddie has his fun, he's very good at funny lines, I think. He's really good at doing a bit of comedy. So it's a shame when he has to revert back to being needy, whingy air.
Yeah, because I quite like it when he's confident and just attempts. I imagine he did sort out David Elizabeth by himself, I suppose, without any recourse.
Good boy. Well done, Freddie. Good boy. But I didn't really quite understand the volunteers nonsense.
No. Also,
why would you want to... I mean, I suppose it's a nice house, but what do you get out of it if you're a volunteer? Cake? Free cake?
I presume. And but, I mean, people do it when they... You know, because you get to spend time and learn about and you get access to the other bit, you know, of an amazing piece of history. But Lower Loxley isn't an amazing piece of history.
Elizabeth gives you a peck on the cheek every Christmas.
Yeah.
Here you go, dear one. Yeah. But I didn't really understand what the problem... I didn't quite understand what the problem was.
No.
In that the volunteers were being too... That particular volunteer was being...
Yes,
chatty.
He was following people into the orangery and continuing
his
talk.
Oh,
with
that
them
is
there.
Annoying.
Yes.
That is annoying. Imagine if you're at the National Trust trying to get away from one of those.
It's bad enough when you catch their eye, when you think, no, don't start talking. Don't start talking. I don't want to know about the tapestry. Don't talk about the tapestry. Oh, fuck, he's talking about the tapestry.
Actually, we had that at the Viking Museum. We went to the Viking Museum and we... And it was really great, but we started talking to one of the people dressed up as a Viking about, and he was like, come and get a coin. Oh, actually, it was from Yorkshire, wasn't it? But come and get a coin and all that. And then the kids really wanted a Viking coin. And he started talking about the history, and it was really, really interesting.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. And also, I've got four kids standing there going, like, kicking me.
Yeah.
And he would not. He just wouldn't shut up. And I was going... And that is so... Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so... Oh, okay. Oh, is it? Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, looks right. Like we're going, you know.
And they would just... Yeah. But it's very... no, that's me being really patronising. But I guess when someone's on a roll, they don't want to shut up,
yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. And when they've finally got people that are standing still and they're interesting, you know, rather than just asking you where the loos are or can they buy ice creams or something.
Imagine if he'd followed us out of the museum and into Betty's. Just can't shake him off.
Because it always used to be Bert's role to haunt people round Lower Loxley, droning on about with his bloody terrible poetry. But now it's clearly been taken over by this chap of...
Oh, what's his name? I'm going to actually look his name up.
Unnamed.
He was actually in one of the synopses. Because instead of listening back this week, just enough time, I just read back.
Read back, yeah.
Read back. What day would that have been? On, like, the Tuesday? Oh, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
You know you were going to mention your friend.
Oh, yes.
Can I just give a little shout out to my cousin?
Yes.
Rita, are you listening?
Rita. Rita maid, yes.
Rita is my... cousin's wife, and she's so lovely, very clever, Lucy, very proper clever. Anyway, it turns out she listened once. I don't know if she listens every week, but if she does, hi Rita. That's it. That's all I wanted
to
say. Yeah, okay. I mean that is because I literally have nothing else to say this week.
Okay.
I mean, I have wobbled on, but you can cut everything.
Okay.
Thanks.
Everything. Okay.
Everything. Just cut it. Let's start
I got
the monologue.
I got a bar of chocolone. Not
what?
From you. I
from
got
Tony's?
It. No, I got it. I got a bar of gingerbread chocolone.
Oh, yeah, I know why. Because it's reduced.
It is, no, you don't know why.
Yeah,
because
it's
don't.
Reduced. Well, whoever bought it for you, they bought it on offer. Because it was the Christmas
one. I don't care. It was very nice. It was from my friend Nan, who sent it with her wife, Michelle. And she put it down on the placemat and said, from a fan, in a rather sinister fashion. And I stared at it and then thought, I know who that is. Yes. This is very nice.
From your fan, Nan?
Yes, my Nan fan. Yes, thank you, Nan. It was very nice. And very nice that it didn't involve any ridiculous bet with Harriet for me to have it either.
I want a Tony's chocolone. Actually,
well, you'll have to make friends with Nan. That's all I can say.
But have you tried it yet, the gingerbread one?
Yes.
Is it nice?
It's really nice.
Because at Christmas, I tried the candy cane one. Thinking,
that's too sweet.
Well, no, but I thought, obviously, it's going to be disgusting. It wasn't, though. It was like mint chocolate.
Mm.
So even though I would think in my head gingerbread chocolate would be disgusting... Because we are big fans of Tony's Chocolonely, I bet it's nice.
Ginger and chocolate is delicious and second only to mint and chocolate.
Oh, that's an interesting philosophy you have there, Lucy.
It's because I have a long-term relationship with Mint Aeros.
Mm. Oh, my God, I love a Mint Aero. Oh, my God. I haven't had one for probably 30 years, but I loved them.
But you, if you close your eyes, you can smell them.
Yeah, I can. I'm there. Yeah. Because they don't taste of chocolate at all.
They taste of...
sugary mint.
Sugary mint, yeah.
And do you remember the orange Aeros? I wonder if they still do them.
I don't know. My heart was taken by the mint. I had no room for anything else, I'm afraid.
Well, thanks, Nan.
Mm. No, thanks. You don't thank her because she didn't give you anything.
No, I know, but...
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I really wasn't.
Thanks, Nan.
I'm a bit distracted because I'm trying to find the bloody name of that bloody volunteer.
While you're being distracted...
Cliff! It says here, Freddie then goes on better with news that he has resolved the problem with Cliff. Yeah, that's right. He said Cliffgate.
Oh, yes! Okay.
I knew it wasn't Malcolm Gate.
No, but you said Colin. It wasn't Colin either.
Colin is so much closer to Cliff than Malcolm. Let's face it.
They've both got C's.
Yeah, but which one could you make? Colin has got 1, 2, 3 letters of Cliff and Malcolm's got 2.
Malcliff.
That's what you should have said.
That's what you're just being picky. I've got a bread and butter pudding in the oven, so when I start to smell it, it's time to take it out. So then I will leave and take it out and come back again. All right? Just telling you. Also because I don't want to forget that it's in there.
I thought bread and butter pudding was just bread. What? In the oven? What do you do? I thought it was just like bread with like... I don't know, like alcohol on it or something.
What?
I don't know.
What? Like a gin sandwich or something. What do you want?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had a bread and butter pudding.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But also, why are you cooking one on a Friday night?
Well, because I had some stale bread, and that's the best thing to do with stale bread is make bread and butter pudding.
You live the dreamiest life. I would like you to come and be our Alice.
No chance.
Can we move into the nest with
No. Right, this is from Joe O'Leary, who says, after fabulous Febreze's beautiful tribute to Jenny Darling, here is to all the women who keep everything running. How wonderful that Lillian found comfort in a Jenny and Febreze story. And bravo, Linda, for being such a wonderful friend. She said, it is great to have Nokasha back. Shame it means we have to hear more from Tom, Nova and Sarah Len as models. Is this a step up from a stained glass window? They see that story is going to rumble on for decades, I think. Except I think what will happen is when Peggy shuffles off, then it will be a tribute window to her with the...
Yes, but now they're models, Lucy.
Oh,
they
yes.
Should really have a... they should really have a stained glass window with modelling it themselves.
Yes. So, and in the bottom, it will just say, hashtag BridgeFresh app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
In the corner of the stained glass
window. Sponsored stained glass window.
20% discount if you mention Nova and Sarah. She says, more theories from Katie, please. Her Jakob Eric theory was genius. That was... Katie's saying that they're both the same person. Red Agnes, who we haven't heard from for a very long time, said, I'm listening to your podcast newest to oldest because I've only just found you. What the hell are you doing to your feet, Lucy? You've been had. I've never heard of that snake oil, moss and tea tree oil cure. And Harriet, don't put your feet on your hot water bottle. No charge.
Is that a reference to
Yes, Jolaine? She's a podiatrist, you see.
Oh, in it. I don't know. Lucy, I don't. My bad chilblains are actually on my fingers.
Ooh.
And I don't put them on radiators. Coming from the outside into a heated home.
Ooh.
Or going into an air conditioned studio. Or, you know, it's the change in temperature, they say.
I used to sit on the radiators at school and they told us we'd get piles. We didn't. They just wanted us to go outside in the cold and not sit on the radiators because it meant they had to keep checking on us. Anyway, this is Emma Williams. Now, this is about Sarah M. You talking about...
Being a bit...
Said you were talking about the way Tom pronounces Selen with the rolled
Seren.
R and the N rather than un ending. I have a lot of sympathy with him doing this. My husband and family are all Welsh, with Welsh being their first language. Our elder daughter is called Bethan. I'm really sorry, Emma. I may get this all muddled up because the pronunciation is different each time.
No, Bethan.
Our elder daughter is called, Bethan, which we and his family pronounce...
Where have you gone, Lucy? Hello? You went under a rug. What?
No, I'm here. Can you not hear me?
You went very muffled, like Ooh. You put a carpet on your head.
Okay. Our elder daughter is called Bethan, which we and his family pronounce Bethan with the stress. Bethan, with the stress on the first syllable.
Oh,
in
Bethan.
Welsh, you always, almost always, put the stress on the penultimate syllable. So two-syllable words have the stress on the first syllable. This has always been the norm for me to go with the way that the Welsh speakers pronounce the word, as this is, after all, a Welsh name.
Sure.
Family on my side have struggled with this, though, culminating with my dad for years, calling her Bethan, with the stress on the second syllable. Most other people just call her the anglicised version of the name Bethan. In fact, to be honest, most people call her Beth now, and that certainly solves the problem. Our second daughter is called Catherine, which you would think would be much easier. No special pronunciation needed, just say what you see, and all of the family on both sides haven't had an issue. However, she does sometimes get called by non-family or friends Katrine or Caitlin, which is just plain thick. Again, she's mostly known as Kat, which does make it simpler.
Yes.
I actually agree that the way Tom rolls the R in Seren is irritating, but it does ring true that he would do it that way, being a family with Welsh speakers. I cannot tell you how excited I am to finally have something relevant to email you about.
Of all the things!
Yeah, but you didn't see that one coming, did you, Emma?
No, that's good. I like that.
Bethan. Yeah. So it's Bethan.
No, because it is
Bethan.
Annoying for people.
Bethan. Bethan.
Yeah. Catherine.
Yeah.
It is annoying when people mispronounce your name, obviously.
Yes.
Or quite often I get called Henrietta or Hannah. But then I don't mind. I don't really like being called Henrietta, to be honest.
Well, it's not your name.
It's just not my name.
And it's also twice as long. How can they muddle up?
But it must be very annoying if you, yes, if you're like, yeah, if you people mispronounce your name all the time.
Mm. Yes.
But there are lots of names that are pronounced like three ways, aren't there?
Yes.
Can't think of any that spring to mind.
No, obviously.
Lucy. Lucy. Lucy.
People ask me if it's short for Lucinda.
What? Lucy? Lucy's just Lucy, isn't it?
I know,
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Bill Richot, who says, I have been an Archer... Oh, it's headed marriage problems. Brace yourself. I've been an Archer's listener for 10 years, having heard a brief mention of it during some sitcom I was watching on BBC America. This week, while listening to Ambridge on the Couch, I was laughing so uncontrollably my husband became concerned. From describing your own memories of playing Cluedo with your family to the Hamilton song drops, I nearly lost my lunch, barreled over with laughter. I'm not sure if he's concerned for me or for himself at this point, but regardless, you always make me laugh till it hurts, and I thank you for it. Love from Bill in Boston. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Our little Boston bean.
That's so nice, because sometimes you just need a bit of reassurance, don't you, Lucy?
Yes,
especially on nights like tonight.
Yes, when we can't remember who we are. Never mind who the end one is.
Yeah, there is, apart from the emails in your monologue, there's nothing. There's nothing. Nothing.
Morgan
Although
Johnson,
I have got something to play you. I must remember.
Yeah. Morgan says it's still weird that Alice is the only person interacting with Rory. It must be that they were the only two actors on set one day and they filmed all those scenes ahead of time. Could well be, Morgan.
Oh,
who
my
knows?
God. It is. It's so weird.
Daniel Millichip says, so glad that The Archers is now also a parenting podcast hosted by Lizzie. Warm conversation flowing with your child, like, I've got 5 minutes before my meeting with the volunteers. Did you want to speak to me? And Lielzebub also hosts the agricultural segment Measuring the Grass, because she said David was coming over to measure the grass or something. I'm not saying Alice did the best job with her reactions, but to be fair, she isn't Rory's parent. The contrast with Lizzie Babes was stark. The scriptwriters are really getting off on these comparisons at the moment, I think. So the comparison between Alice talking to Rory and Lizzie getting impatient with Freddie.
Well, that's because Freddie's a dick.
Yeah.
But we love him for it.
Oh,
Yeah, go on.
No, carry on.
Well, no, it's just we didn't discuss Alice's reaction to finding out Rory was an escort. I thought she went a bit overboard.
No, I don't think
she did. Oh, you don't think she did?
No. Because she would have heard a hell of a lot as well at the rehab thing about...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's why she was very horrified by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Phil sent us in some peak Archers.
Yay!
He said as he'd started this feature, he thought he'd better chip in with it.
Yes.
He said, Jacob with Kate randomly looking for injured animals. Oh, there's Stella. Judging by the immediate conversation, Stella must have been 1 meter away from them. And then I loved it as well when Kate said, or it could have been a dog, or a cat, or a mouse, or a plastic bag blowing in the hedge. I don't know.
I loved every single word Kate said this week.
This is from Joanne, who just put in block capitals, Kate is just awful.
No.
I wonder how Jenny would feel if she knew that her death was the impetus for Kate to give up spiritual hummus after just a few years, because she now needs to do something more meaningful with her life, especially since keeping spiritual home exactly where
yes,
it was
rather
than moving it a couple of fields over is why Jennifer had to give up her beloved house and her lovely kitchen. Yes, I know Brian's polluting is what caused the financial hardship, but Kate dug in her heels and refused to budge an inch because her business was so very important.
Yeah, I hope someone bothers to bring that up.
Yes, if I recall correctly, she then bitched that Brian and Jennifer moved into a house so small that he didn't have room for Kate to freeload anymore. The phrase she would turn in her grave springs to mind, except Jennifer hasn't even been buried yet. And as for Jacob stroking Kate's ego by telling her, running your own business, that takes guts. Don't even get me started. Joanne, who's clearly feeling a bit...
cross.
Yes, het up this week.
She's feeling like Adam.
Maybe he's been spending time with Chelsea, do you think? And Rory.
There was some great sound of it. Oh, talking of Adam, just before I forget, what on earth was this word? I wonder if you remember it. I hope this is the right recording. No, that's the wrong record. Oh, shit. Hang on a minute. Sorry, guys.
I know what that was, because you told me before.
Hang on. Oh, sugar, I can't remember where it was now. Maybe it's this. Everyone, talk amongst yourselves. No. So many of these bloody things. Sorry. That must be it. Hang on. Okay, sorry. See if it's this. No, that's not it. Sorry. This one.
Hypocritically, couldn't it?
What? No, hang on one second. I think it could be hypocritically, couldn't it? What is it?
It could be hypocritically, couldn't it?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I can hear. This is all I can hear. Hang on. I think it could be hypocritically, couldn't it? Oh, now I can hear. All I could hear was, it could be a bit critically, couldn't it? I thought there must be a verb that I don't understand. It could be a bit critically, couldn't it? Oh my God, he said hypocritical, Ian.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just heard it completely wrong.
I think because Ian is a common ending for a lot of English
Criticillian,
words.
It sounded like criticillian. And I thought I genuinely thought it was a word I'd never heard before. And I was expecting you to enlighten me, like Collins the Dictionary with like Susie off Countdown. I thought you were going to...
I could have really gone to town with that, couldn't I? And created any old bollocks, you'd have believed it.
You could have done it. And if it hadn't taken me half an hour to find it, you might have done. Sorry about that. I've got so many voice memos.
We've had a message for our executive director, Cooper. From Steve Barry, who says,
"Calm down, Cooper."
I must say that I think your vocal contribution this week was largely ignored by your on-air talent. Very poor. He says, "The model twins, money put away and then down the line used by Nokasha to clear her credit card debts." You read it here first. Secondly, Kate is only ever aware of Phoebe when it is convenient for her. Always was, always will be. She makes Brian look like a doting husband and father.
Did she mention Phoebe this week? I can't remember.
No.
So Phoebe genuinely hasn't been mentioned?
Nope. Wow. Lastly, Ruri reminds me of Prince Harry. Had a really rough start in many ways, but nothing since then is or has ever been his fault. Must be someone else to blame.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. That's the thing. That's what I felt about that last scene with Julianne was just... It was a bit too much. It was a bit too... Okay, I don't feel sorry for you anymore.
Yeah.
You're actually acting like a baby.
This is from Marianne Proctor, who says, "Is it just my age and gender, or do I just want to go and invite Rory into our home so he can experience a normal family?
Oh.
Obviously, we are completely dysfunctional, but seriously, the boy just needs acceptance so he can be himself."
Oh. Now I feel bad for being mean about Rory.
And we've also got to shout, "Wake up, Liz!" Because she goes to sleep to us every time, apparently. Her friend Liz nods off every time.
That's so embarrassing. Mm. With that dull.
Mm, I know.
Well, this week could be a good... what was I going to say about... No, but also, I was like, respect Julianne when she was talking... when she basically told Alice that she had a really dysfunctional family. She actually is quite perceptive after all.
Yes. I don't think you have to be perceptive to recognise the Aldridges as dysfunctional.
Yeah, well,
If they had no money, they'd be on Jeremy Kyle. If they were, if they were living in a council house, they'd be on Jeremy Kyle. But because they're, they've got money and they wear loafers, then, they're just troubled.
But I guess that's also why Julianne isn't troubled herself, because she sort of thinks, well, I'm not the one that wrecked him up.
Mm.
He was already broken when he met me.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with me, really.
Yeah.
Just can't really blame her.
I can see you and Julianne have things in common, Harriet.
I genuinely think we get on.
Yeah.
In fact, today I did an advert for something and I sounded like Julianne.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because you've got a bit of a cold as well. She's got a slightly nasal.
Exactly. And I was sort of doing a bit of an older voice and I thought, I actually quite like this woman.
Hi, Julianne.
Oh. I quite like this, Rory. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's really good.
Well, I think when I go a bit lower like this.
Yes, and she has got a very up and downy type voice, hasn't she?
She has, Rory. Oh. No, Rory. And then she gets a bit cross about things. Yeah.
I think that Julianne and Febreze might need to have a little chat soon.
Oh. All right, then.
Okay,
in a couple of weeks. Give me a bit of time. Yeah, I'll have a listen to her.
Oh, talking of Febreze, and now we will go over to Radio Borsetshire, where Febreze is reviewing a local restaurant, or as Linda would say, restaurant.
Gourmet.
Radio Borsetshire. Colin, I am very annoyed. No, not with you, with Sushi Station. They have got signed picture up of Wendy the weather woman. You know, Wendy the weather woman would say about warm fronts and ground frost and wrap up warm. Febreze is more big talent than the weather the Wendy woman. I do proper interview, and weather wind woman just look at a confused swirly map and say, oh gosh, it chilly. Really, she could just look out of window for that and see everyone scraping ice off car window with shoe because they have lost scrapey thing. Can you arrange for me to have signed photo in sushi station? Bigger than woman Wendy weather? Yes. No. Oh, now. Hello, hello. This is me, Fabrizia Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today is restaurant review. I was asked to attend Les Scissors or Rizzers for their gala evening. Declan could not accompany me as he was busy trying to open his third eye with his new friend Skylight, so Graham came with me instead. We were both in black tie, but mine was black tie with pink jacket, grey suede leggings, and a new swept-over eyebrow. Anyway, here is the record. Press button, please, Colin. Well, listeners, here we are at Les Scissors or Rizzers. My compadre Graham is having a vodka martini, and I asked for a dancing postman. This is a Eurovision speciality, so I tested them, and they fell short, as they had some of the ingredients, but not the Valium or the bucket. So I have marked them down for that. So I had a piña colada, as tonight I need to be urbane man about in town. So I said very firm, no umbrella. I think they were impressed. However, the menu is proper, which is good, and not one of those ones that just say chicken, leek, pea, all grumpy at you. I like it when there are things nestling in the bed of other things. There is a lot of foam and jus, which I think is gravy, but sticky and dribbled about. We have ordered, listeners, a selection of starters to amuse our bouche, and then Graham is having octopus tartare, which I cannot have, as it just reminded me of rubber night at Jack's and too many chafing injuries. And I am having goat's cheese salad for health, with chips for taste. Graham is having cheese and biscuits for pudding. That is not pudding. That is a cheese sandwich, which is like starting your dinner all over again. I am having a small fruity tart. It was the only thing that really appealed to me. Well, we have finished and now trying to get Uber home, which is difficult because of my rating from before. The driver did not like my singing or vigorous hand movements what made him swerve and he drove into a potaloo. Anyway, on all, I would give Les Scissors or Rizzers probably 8 out of 10. Graham said he could not get over the tentacles and my tart was very refreshed. I do not know about value for money, as I told them to send the bill to General Manager of Radio Borchester. Ooh, have we found an Uber? Well done, Graham. Tell him not to park by puddle outside Lidl, as these are calfskin. Well, thank you, me, for that broadcasting outside. I have had a very rude letter from the Scissors or Rizzers, as apparently it is not allowed to share dishes. When they are people you don't know, on another table. But I said it was in media interest, so I may have to take off some more points for rude. But I can recommend, take your own flapjacks. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. Was that the Hotel Frittarelli in Felpersham?
No.
Oh.
It's Les Scissors Heureuses.
Les Scissors Heureuses. Mm. Doesn't smell as nice as Julianne's hotel.
No.
Is that why she's... That's the thing. I think my hearing's going. Did Julianne say it smells good here? Did she say that? When she was talking to Rory, he said something like, oh, you're at... She said, I'm at the Hotel Frittarelli's in Feldbusham. Mm. And he went, oh, it's nice. And she went, yeah, smells good. Or did she not say that? And I'm just
seems
not listening.
Good.
Oh, okay. I'm just... I don't know what's wrong with me.
Did you know that when you are very stressed, when you've got lots and lots and lots of things to think about, your hearing does dip?
No way.
Yeah, because you're trying... It's like when you are in a really, really, really horrible traumatic event, you're...
Like living with four kids.
Your vision will switch to black and white because your brain is trying to conserve energy. It's like putting your computer on... hibernate or whatever.
Way.
It's trying to conserve the amount of energy it's using, and processing colour is too much. So it decides, right, she doesn't need to see the colour of anything, that's fine. We'll just concentrate on keeping her alive. So things go black and white.
But my brain just goes, just don't listen to the Archers.
But it's because you're being bombarded with messages about all the things that you've forgotten, like where is everyone's socks and...
and passports.
Has someone been sick on a passport and et cetera. So there's nothing, there's no spare brain space for you to listen to things as intently as you would do normally.
Then I've got a really big excuse for not being hot on the content of the Archers this week.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Thanks, Lucy. That's really kind of you to let me off.
Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen again, Rory. I do find her quite scary. I imagine her as quite muscly.
Oh, I think she's got those sort
very
of quite
toned.
Very sinewy.
Sinewy,
you know,
those
sort of like older lady arms
so she works out a lot. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Where you can really see the bicep, and then there's like these sort of string bits that, you know.
The thing that really made me feel a bit pukey about the whole Rory is he said, and I know how tense your shoulders get when you've been using your laptop. And I thought, no! I mean, for some reason, that made me feel
all of that
recoil in a way that the feet thing didn't.
No, I'm completely with you. It was a bit like he'd said, you're really sexy again. But when he was like, I know your favourite vineyard.
Yeah.
I know when you're stressed and I have to touch your shoulders. It was just so
odd. It was like a little boy going...
Yeah.
Mummy, why don't you love me? Which is what it was.
Yes, it makes you feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
But like he was trying to, he thought those were the things that might make her love him.
Yeah.
Knowing your favourite vineyard.
Yeah.
It was all so weird, wasn't
it? Yeah.
And it is a bit of an icky feeling, isn't it? When you think... it is very odd.
It is
very
the age difference.
Disturbing.
It is. And what isn't disturbing is visiting patreon.com and looking up Ambridge on the Couch. And you can support us at any subscription level. And it also means that you will be able to attend our Patreon Zoomathon on the 21st of February. We would like you to submit, you don't have to, by the 14th of February, a love poem about a character in The Archers. It can be a limerick or a Roses Are Red poem, but not anything longer than that. And the judge will be Kerry Davis. And the winner will receive...
Oh my God.
I'm not even going to tell you what the winner will receive because Harriet will have a shit fit. Okay?
Shit.
The winner will receive our love and thanks.
No, they will receive it, Lucy.
Yes,
they
just
will.
Maybe not within the month that they won.
It just might be within 30 days.
Yes.
Or maybe a little bit outside of 30
Check the terms
days.
And conditions. Terms and conditions apply. Please read the small print and don't die.
In fact, that's another reminder I'm going to pay right now for when I'm back. I've got so many reminders for the 22nd of February.
Spread them out a bit, otherwise you just...
No, but I feel like that'll be like a safe day, you know, when I'm well into the week after next. It's sort of like, you know, what could possibly...
You can find us on Facebook, on
Twitter.
At On Ambridge.
Ambridge.
Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze. Or you can email us at... AmbridgeOnTheCouch@gmail.com. Now, this Matt Rodriguez Payne masterpiece is a programme you watch and I never have. So you will be able to tell it and I won't know.
Oh, I'm feeling all pressured now.
Okay, I think you watch it.
Happy Valley?
No. It is about, I think...
I know what it's going to be. Queer Eye?
What? No, wait, no. It is about people that go and have dinner cooked for them by other people, and it's a competition.
Come dine with me?
Yes! Have you never watched it?
No, I did. I probably watched... Yeah, I watched it occasionally.
Anyway, it's quite a nice theme tune. Okay. I like it. I mean, I prefer Matt's version, but, you know, the original seems very nice. Anyway, I'm going to play it.
I did used to watch that, actually. It was a good show.
Now.
Come dance with my dinner. It's not even a female voiceover that does it, is it? It's Dave Lamb that does the voiceover.
It's a very dramatic.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Tune,
yeah.
To considering that all they do is cook dinner.
Yeah, but it reminded me a bit of MasterChef.
Ah, I've never seen that either. But is that a similar theme tune?
Well, no, I think it was just, it's that sort of like, and the, the dramatic.
Oh, I see. Like to emphasise the competition
and,
aspect.
Yeah, you know, okay. Yeah, it's one of, it's like any sort of game show, really, I suppose. Okay. Well, not game show, reality game show thing. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was really good.
He's so clever.
He's so clever.
He's having a nightmare with builders at the moment, I tell you.
Oh, is he?
Absolute nightmare.
How do you know?
He has told me.
But what sort of thing? Are they building him a little studio for his orchestra?
He's having ensuite on his ensuite, I think. He's got some bathroom problem. I don't mean him personally. In this house, he's got a... It's not a euphemism.
How did we get onto Matt's plumbing problem?
Nobody said...
Is it because we had nothing to say about come dine with me?
Yes. He said he's now got... builders, what did he say? Builders, plumbers and necromancers. Trying to sort out his bathroom. It just
good
sounds hideous. So our thoughts go out, Matt.
So that's maybe that the sort of anxiety of his
yes,
current life.
Yes, built up the tension and
very
the
much
anxiety.
Put into that piece.
Yes.
Thank you, Matt.
Yes, because what Harriet needs is a bit more tension and anxiety.
My God,
just
I'm feeling
at the
sick. I'd actually just quite like just to go to bed. And then wake up when it's all over. I would just want to go to bed and wake up in 7 days.
What, and not go at all?
No, I can't wait. I can't wait. But it's just... I didn't tell... Well, because, you know, I'm really lucky I'm going skiing, but I'm taking 4 kids, one of whom is 4. And my daughter, my eldest daughter, she fractured her finger on Sunday. And her whole hand's in a cast.
Oh, bless her. How did she do that?
All she did was, she was running out of a room and she banged her finger on the doorframe and it just went and out the other way. Yeah, so we did like 6 hours in A&E. It was so boring. And then back to hospital and more waiting. Anyway, thank you very much, NHS, because they've made it better and have protected it. But now I think she can't really do much, obviously. She can't really do
anything.
Well,
it's quite novel to go skiing in a cast. Everyone else, you know.
I don't think she's really allowed to ski. No, okay. I think...
Can she toboggan?
I think me and her will be doing a lot of tobogganing.
Yeah.
And just walking around.
Or maybe that hot chocolate's very good for poorly fingers.
There will be lots of hot chocolates and me just waiting for the train home.
Yeah.
No, the best bit is going to be, we're going on the train, and the bit from Paris to Lausanne is 6 hours. And I get 6 hours of children with headphones and iPads, and I just go to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Occasionally waking up to look out at mountains. Yes.
Oh, that would be nice.
It's snowing. Look, children. Lovely. Smashing.
Oh, I can't wait. No, I can't wait. Genuinely. God, I'm basically Freddie Pargeter.
It's so awful, Mummy.
Oh my God, I've got to take my bloody children up a bloody mountain.
God's sake! On a bloody train! Oh, God.
Rufus is going with you, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but I'm the mum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who's going to be doing the packing, Lucy?
Yeah, I know. Well, I told you, that always makes me laugh at airports, where they say to the man, did you pack this case yourself? And the man looks a bit confused, because of course he didn't. No,
oh,
that's why I got married. Right, let us go out with Come Dine With Me, so you can run off and pack a thousand bags and hunt out passports. And
can I just also thank Phil, who recommended that I watch Hotel Portofino.
Is it good?
I've downloaded it for the train.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so I actually can't wait to watch that.
So basically you'll see the first 20 minutes of one episode before
But even that'll be amazing. 20 minutes of that and a coffee. Yeah. Yes!
You know, they'll all want to go to the loo in one after the other, don't they? Every just as you've got to sleep. Mummy, I need the loo.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Anyway, Lucy, have a great week.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
Happy skiing.
Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.